This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
I'll be back in a minute. My breakfast is go, go, go. Handle my business. I was deep in the dust.
Well, do you know what? In Hutato, we trust, 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 trust until the finish line. Sorry, if low are you? In KG, we trust. Hutato, how do you do? How do you do?
I'm well, and how are you?
I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by Hutato Muntjane, who is a professional wheelchair tennis player. And her achievements are, your achievements are amazing. And being able to go to these various opens, what does it mean to you, eh?
Firstly, good morning to you and good morning to the Power listeners.
Mm.
It hasn't been an easy journey, but it all means a lot, you know, looking at where I'm coming from, you know, not being exposed to this, you know, sport that is known to be a white sport. So you can imagine someone who grew up in the rural areas, how did they end up playing tennis? But yeah, it's been a very, 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 very challenging, but nice journey, full of fun. Full of up and downs, yeah.
So out of the four Grand Slams, for instance, the Australian Open and the US Open, the French Open and Wimbledon, which one for you like just stands out?
Yo, Wimbledon stands out, man. Wimbledon is the one because, you know, it saved my career. At some point, I felt like it was the end. But Wimbledon happened and everything just took a 360 degree turn, and I guess that's why we're talking today.
Yeah. Why?
Because, you know, one time, was it 2018? In 2018, wheelchair tennis was going through a rough patch. They had lost this huge sponsorship that used to pay for everything, you know, for us to travel, to be at tournaments, you know. Mm. Once we lost that sponsorship, it just felt like it was the end of it because none of us had like individual sponsors. So, yeah, we were not able to play. We're just sitting home, you know, with the hope that something will come up. Yeah, it was tough. And I was awarded a wild card to come and play in Wimbledon, you know, with the little hustles there and there. Someone helped. I got to Wimbledon. I won my first match. And after that, got me in the history books of South Africa, making me to become the first black South African woman to ever play at Wimbledden.
Things sort of, you know, that's why we said in KG, we trust, 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 trust until the finish line.
Yeah, so it really, really gave me, you know, another direction in my career. So that's why Wimbledden really, really stands out because during those tough times, it came at the right time and gave me a hopeful career.
but why? You know, because here you have Hutato, who hasn't been playing tennis, not really a huge fanatic at the time, but gets pushed into tennis and loves it. But as you said earlier on, that this is, though, a white sport, considered to be a white sport. And when we speak about sports, sports is normally dominated by men, you know. But Hutato is saying that I'm going to challenge myself and I'm going to enter this. I'm going to swing my racket like never before.
Yeah, Aldrin, you know, it's, you know, when I share my life story, it's just beyond who I've became in tennis, you know, because to those who do not know, I was born with a disability, you know, and in the midst of that, my leg got amputated and isn't like being born with disability. It wasn't enough, you know, but there's never enough in life, you know. Yeah. So it has been a very bumpy journey having to try to adapt into the society. Other kids don't want to play with you, and you are so confused as a kid. You don't understand. But you know, life doesn't have a manual. You figure it out as time goes on. And to those who knows me on a personal level, they always say I have a weird mentality. You know, simply because I'm way too realistic about life. You know, because with whatever that life throws at me, I always look at the bigger picture of life. You know, I was born with disability, and already the world has a certain perception about people like me that is full of can't. You can't do this. You can't do that. No, look at you. No, with that, you, it's like you come into this world already, you have been seen as someone who's limited, you know? So having to actually maneuver around life and, you know, make it normal for yourself. It's been a very, very challenging thing. But then the question is, how does the bigger picture of life looks like, you know?
Yeah.
And I would like to believe, like, it is different for everyone. But mine looks like hope. You know, when I look at it, there's so much to be hopeful for. That's how I look at my bigger picture. But because of how I was born, I really had to find a definition of life. And that definition of life to me was to be hopeful regardless of any difficulty or any situation. And I just had to remain hopeful through some adversities of life, you know?
So let's take a few steps back then. So here you are as a kid, esishego, and you then realize that you are being looked at in a different way. The way people engage with you is very different to how they engage with other children. And when you play with other children, you see as well that their interaction with you is very different to how they interact with your other peers.
Most definitely. It was confusing because as a kid, you don't understand a lot of stuff, you know? But then I was fortunate enough that my parents opted to take me to a special school where there's other kids with disabilities, you know. When I get there and seeing, I mean, all different kinds of people, I can see that one is in a wheelchair, that one is in crutches. Oh, that one actually doesn't even prefer to crawl. You know, I look at myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm limping, you know. So everyone is just different in their own way. So I sort of developed some sense of acceptance, you know. This is me. This is who I am. This is how my world looks like, you know. So
what was it difficult though?
Obviously, as a kid, you get confused, but you don't understand a lot of stuff, you know. So you can't really, really be attached to that emotionally. Yes, you get hurt there and there because you don't understand. But obviously, as I grow up, because it doesn't stop there. As you grow up and starting to realize things, you know, people come at your home and be like, oh, where's that kid with disability? Okay, you know what I'm saying? And you start to realize, oh, so this is how I'm being called. Because you understand now, it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're just walking in the streets. They'd be like, oh, shame. Look at how she walks, you know? And things like that, you're wondering, but whom I believe, like, what have I done to this world, you know? Because I already understood that's my normal. This is how I am. And everyone is different because I go to this school where everyone is different and it's okay. No one sees any wrong in anyone, you know? So as I grew up and starting to understand, yes, it hurt a little bit when people kept saying, oh, shame. So somebody, and I don't understand. Shame for what? You know, I never had, I mean, a full leg. I don't know how it felt to have one. So when you say shame at me for something that I never experienced, I don't understand. Because to me, this is my normal. But obviously, through all those things that you encounter in the streets or in the community, obviously, it gets back to me. How am I going to make this world more normal for me in a way that I'm going to be happy with myself and not care about what people had to say. So that's why I come in, that's why I say I had to remain hopeful through some adversities of life, you know?
Did you ever question it, though, like intense internal conflict where you ask, for instance, why me? Why is this happening to me? Have you ever had an encounter, for instance, with your parents, Mom Margaret and your dad, where you ask those questions, like, why is this happening to me?
You know, Aldrin, I never had to question them, because, you know, those times where I was born, if you had a kid with a disability, people used to hide those kids, you know? They used to just, like, pull them away from the people. But here, my parents put me out there, you know? I don't remember one time in a family when I said I wanted to go play in the streets. They'd be like, no, you cannot go and play because you are like this. So I never had to ask them, because they granted me an opportunity of life, and they had the spirit, you know, to just put me out there in the world, despite all those judgmental things I came across in the streets. And obviously for them taking me to a special school also, I'm grateful for that, because it made me realize that, you know, being born differently, it's not a problem. Mm. It happens, you know. So I never had to ask even God, why me? Why am I like this? No.
No. Okay.
No.
I wonder if there's anyone out there on 0619870000 who has a certain disability, and just sharing that journey with us, how you got to be more motivated, how you got to be resilient, how you got to make sure that you achieve your goals. But even a parent who's listening, a parent with a child who has certain disabilities, what type of conversations do you have with the child, you know? And if that child is not as mentally strong as Hutato is, what do you tell that child? What type of conversations do you have with that child? 0619870000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Simpier, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. I read an article with Nahutato, and for me, that was interesting is the phrase that you used and how you described it. You say, there I realized, and this was now when you went to the special school, you say, there I realized I wasn't the only one differently abled. Please unpack that phrasing for me, differently abled.
Yeah, because I didn't want to use the word disabled, you know? Because for me, when I look at the term disabled, how it's defined in the dictionaries, it has to say with someone with an impairment. But to my understanding, being disabled is literally just being bedridden, not being able to do anything at all. So for me, I felt like I'm differently abled. I am abled in a way that it works for me, you know? And this thing, people, you know, use it a lot, that you're not normal.
Yeah.
I do not believe in that, because I would like to believe everyone is normal in their own ways. There's something that I can do, and there's something that you cannot do. And I'm not going to judge you not to be normal simply because you can't do something that I can do.
Yes.
And you're not supposed to judge me that I'm not normal simply because I'm missing half a leg, you know? So that's why I like using the word differently abled, because everyone has abilities, you know, in their own way.
To it, you know, it's a sense of power, a sense of agency. That sure, I have a half leg, but I'm differently abled.
Yes.
There are things that I can do by myself.
Yes. Yes, you've got abilities. Abilities, you know?
Yeah.
So okay,
0619870000. You can also tweet St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Sorry, Hutato, before I go to Kiriboni. You are wrapping up, Hutato?
Yeah, I was just saying we all have abilities, and, you know, for one who has a disability or a certain condition, it just takes acceptance, you know, to get to be able to see that you are differently abled. You're just like anyone else, you know. Yeah.
Kidiboni, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Alrin, and your guest, Khutata Monjani?
We are good. Hello. We are good.
Yes, I've just joined in the conversation, and I can feel that Khutata, you know, she's not sorry for herself, and she doesn't even have to feel sorry because that's how she was born and she is accepted. But I also want to share the story. My younger sister that comes after me, she's born 1991. She gave birth to a child who was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And for 4 years or up to 5 years, the child never gotten an opportunity to get stimulation, in fact, to be accepted at any school. You can imagine the pain. And I had to intervene because I feel for my sister. And I could see that, you know, she feels the child was a mistake, or she feels the child is a curse or something about it. But as well, because of the coaching, you know, of the sessions that they would give them at the hospital, you can see that she's strong. She's trying to push her career, and I'm proud to say my sister today, she managed to graduate engineer, diesel mechanic, artisan today, and through the help of the Department of Gauteng Basic Education, through Apanya Zabisufi, I wrote to him to say, this cannot be. If we are going to remain with a child at home that cannot attend school. And I wrote that letter to him to say this child was diagnosed with, you know, impartial eyesight and cannot walk, cannot talk, cannot do anything. But Eldrin, if I can bring the child to you today, or if you can hear the child talk without seeing her physically, you'd swear that the child is normal. Or you'd hear, you'd swear that the child is differently abled, other way like me and you. And, you know, she sings every day. She's so bubbly. She's so full of life, you know. And when I hear the story of Khutazo, she actually reminds me. And what I want to plead and ask to Khutazo to say, can she give us her numbers? Because what we still battle with to get the child. You know, Banyaza assisted us to get the school. It was in Lens, but due to COVID, she started schooling, formal schooling this year, and she only attended 3 months. And you could see she laughed. And even today, when she speaks about the friends that she met just for 3 months, you know, you can tell that she misses schools and she wants
What's
to be
her
there.
Name? What's her name?
Her name is Dineo.
Oh.
Yes,
how old is
she's
she?
A gift. She's seven.
Indeed.
Yes.
She's seven.
And you know what? And she can't walk. That's the only challenge, or that is the only thing that is withholding her. And if only she could be given an opportunity to walk, because she crawls, you know, you can imagine we have to go to the shops almost every frequently just to get to get her trousers and pants and shoes. You know, even her shoes doesn't last. So we just need help, you know, some orthopedic surgeon that can operate her so that she can walk, because otherwise she's able, she's bubbly. If you She's so fit as well, and she loves sports. Huh?
Khutazo, please, you must go and fetch Dineo. Bring a
racket
as well. Thank you so much, Kidiboni. We'll get you in touch with Khutazo. Titi, good morning.
Morning, Alrin. How are you?
Good, good. How's it?
I'm okay. I'm first time caller.
Welcome, welcome.
All right.
It must be the magic of Khutazo, yes?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. You know, the reason for my call is she's even inspiring us, those who are so-called normal people. She's saying that she is differently abled. I 100% agree with her, and let her extend her motivation to all the normal, the so-called normal, and those that are differently abled. While I'm listening to her speech, I'm asking myself to say I'm so-called a normal person, but then can I compete at Wimbledon? Definitely not. Even if I can get a wheelchair to help me, I cannot be there. Thank you very much. That's the reason for my call, Alden.
Thank you so much, Titi. Khutazo, what does it feel like, though, when you share your story and you hear people like Titi and Kidiboni, for instance?
You know, Eldon, I normally say whenever I tell story, I don't wanna be hearing people being like, oh, shame, you know, oh, you've been through a lot. I don't want it to sound like a tragic story, because it's not tragic. I didn't fall on top of the train. I didn't fall on top of the train and I happened to survive, you know. This is how I was born, and what it took for me to make this life to be normal. It took a lot of, you know, strength overcoming all these challenges, you know, and that's what I like to do, focusing on those strengths and adding some positivity to it, because that's how I realized there's hope. And, you know, that's when I realized that resilience stands out every time, because I always know how to bounce back, you know?
It does.
Yeah, so normally when I tell my story, first thing that I would like to hear from people, I want people to look up to me like, oh, she did it, I can do it. But I don't want people to relate. I just want them to look up to me and what I went through. But I don't want to be like, oh, I can relate. Because once you go like, oh, I can relate, but, you know, once you say I can relate, it always comes with but. But if you say like, I look up to that person, it means you're going to do an action. You know, there's a follow-up to that. Yeah.
I've got a colleague on the line who wants to say hi. Vuyo.
Hi, Khotato.
Aren't you supposed to be putting together a sports bulletin?
Hey, man. Hi, Khotato, how are you?
I'm good, how are you, Vuyo?
I'm good. I mean, Eldon, for me, I think, just like the last caller had put it now, to say, you know what, Khotato has sort of motivated the so-called abled people, like Mhlabeni, and I have to put it myself and say I'm one of those people. Since meeting her back in 2017, I've even had the opportunity to visit her home and be amongst the family around them. And when she speaks about how her family has put her out there, I sort of got to see that as well. And, you know, she's motivated me all this time for all over the years as somebody who's very, very strong. And I've never for once at a point got to a point where I felt like shame or felt like, you know what, she's not the same as me. Because everything that we're doing, whether we're sitting at a place or going to the car wash or out for lunch, she's always looked as somebody who's just able to do everything. Yeah. And personally, she has a strong heart. That's the thing. She doesn't feel sorry for herself. She doesn't, you know, feel sorry about what life has put out there. But she just remains happy, especially, you know, when she's traveling out to tournaments, whether it's Wimbledon, whether it's or the Grand Slams. We recently just were speaking about the U.S. Open now, whether she's going to go, you know, she's planning to go and play, you know, recently. But it's that. She's just strong, Eldon, and there's just a way that I cannot explain. She's a strong person. She doesn't feel sorry for herself, and she motivates a lot of us.
Okay, what's this card? Yeah, Vuyo. Hey, Vuyo. So that's this card. If I just got this, it's 12 o'clock. I just need... Khutato, just quickly, 30 seconds, just quickly, closing remarks. What would you like to say to the people out there listening?
I would like to say to them, like, I don't know if they can draw something out of this, but I, Khotazo, I chose to be hopeful in difficult situations because I knew life was bigger than my disability. I have accepted and embraced what life had offered me, and I made the most out of it. So during this difficult time, people need to make, you know, those choices, you know, how they're going to make to make out of this situation, because we are really under tough times. So those will be my last words. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And all the best, eh?
Thank you.
Great stuff. Khutato Monjane there, professional wheelchair tennis player. And hope the future has a lot in store for her post-COVID-19.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.